Welcome to the IC Medan podcast. We are so glad and wanted to thank you for joining us today. If you want to know more about who we are, our service times and location, or how can you get involved, you can check our website at icmedan.com. We hope you enjoy the message.
Okay, hey guys, hey 4:30 service. Man, how are you guys doing? Oh, 4 p.m. service. I'm just getting ahead. How are you guys doing? You look great. Man, I am so excited to be able to be here to share week 3 of the series that we're in from this day forward. If you guys are just visiting here with us today, this is a series about relationships. And we started our first week, Pastor Chris shared about seeking God. The second week was Pastor Homar. He shared with us last week about fighting fair. And then I get the lucky week this week to talk about having fun. Have fun. That's our theme. I actually think I was tricked into this topic because my husband actually asked me to speak a couple weeks ago. It was actually months ago. I didn't look over the material. I haven't even read the book yet. And so he told me, your topic is have fun. You'll do great. And I was like, well, yeah, you know, I'm fun. I like to have fun. Sure. That's going to be awesome. And then as I start like looking at the book and I realize like what the have fun topic is about, I was like, oh my goodness. So I begged him like, hey, trade with me. Let me have like, because next week is, or the week after Mission Sunday is Stay Pure. Give me Stay Pure. I'm a mom. I can talk all day long about Stay Pure. He's like, no, you do have fun. So anyways, I'm here today. And I've been praying and asking God, begging him actually, God, please give me a message for this topic. And you know, God is so faithful because I really believe that he gave me this message for you today. So I'm going to be sharing some of my personal stories and experience. It seems like it's always like that. You know, when you sign up to pastor, you answer the call of God on your life, you think, I'm going to share Jesus with people. You don't realize that God is going to ask you to share all of your deep and darkest secrets. But that's just the way it goes, I guess. So anyways, it's going to be a fun day. It's cool because this is the week that I'm talking about having fun or have fun, our topic for today. And on Friday night, me and my husband got to go out to this dinner. It's actually a dinner gifted by you guys. IC Medan, for a pastor's appreciation, you guys gave us a special dinner actually back in December, but just now, the schedule allowed for us to be able to like redeem that dinner. So on Friday night, we went to this restaurant in town, and it was really cool. Like, we didn't even know what to expect. We show up at this Ruco, knock on the door, wasn't even sure, like, am I at the right place? Somebody opens the door, and it's like this little store, like a tea store. And we were like, hey, we're Chris and Carrie. You know, is this the right place? They were like, yeah, come on in. And then they go to the wall and they like push the wall, the shelf with the tea. They push it. It's like this big secret door. And they push the door open and we go into like this really cool dining area. It's this really nice table set for two. We had a private dinner. They brought us steaks and all kinds of nice food. We got to eat and have a great dinner and just hang out, the two of us, and just talk and chat. And it was really awesome. So thank you guys for that. You may not have even known that you gave us that, but you did. Thank you guys. And so anyways, that's a fun weekend to have right before I stand here and share with you guys about having fun. So this series, From This Day Forward, is from a book written by Craig Groeschel and his wife Amy about 5 commitments to fail-proof your marriage. So you know, there's a lot of married people in here. This will be awesome for you because they're just great tips for us. There's a lot of singles. This is awesome for you too because you can take notes and then be extra ready for that time when you're going to find that special someone and get married. So, okay, the first week was seek God. The second week, fight fair. This week, we're talking about have fun. The fourth week, stay pure. And then the fifth one, never give up. So before I begin today's topic, I just wanted to kind of like clear up one thing that might be going through your mind. Because a lot of times, you know, when I talk to people about these topics, they'll say, Ibu, this is Asia. This is Asian women, or this is Asian men. And so you're American, so Americans do things different. So I've actually lived here for the most part of the last 17 years of my life. So I'm not sure that I would consider myself American anymore. I go back to my home country, and I'm definitely a foreigner there. And then I come here, I'm still definitely a foreigner. I'm just a confused person, that's all. But today, I'm going to be sharing out of God's word. So let's get Asian culture, Western culture, Eastern culture out of our minds, and we're going to think kingdom culture, because everything we'll talk about today is from God's word. So we're all talking about kingdom culture. Man, I am so passionate about families, about marriage, about married couples, husbands and wives. I love this church. I love you guys. And you're the reason why we're here. You're the reason why we do what we do here. It's not to build a building, to find the coolest space, although we do have the coolest space here at Lippo Plaza, but it's about you. And man, that's my prayer, is that you have strong marriages, strong families. So, you know, next week, me and my husband celebrate 25 years of being married. It's crazy. A quarter of a century. We've been married a quarter of a century. That feels weird to even say. I said half of a century this morning. I got excited. Not yet. But I just wanted to tell you that marriage is fun. Marriage is fun. I know a lot of times singles, you're like, you know, I hear these horror stories of husbands and wives, and it gets really bad, and I, you know, like, and it just seems like maybe there's even like a generation of people that are scared to get married because you've heard like these stories. But I want to tell you that I'm standing here today. I'm going to share my life, my experience, and I'm a living testimony of saying marriage is fun. Marriage can be fun. It takes two people working together to make this thing work. And if you are working together on this thing, it can be fun, and it should be. And so I want to take that out of our vocabulary and out of our minds before we get started. Okay. All right. Satan's great strategy when it comes to sex is to do everything he can to encourage sex outside of marriage and to discourage sex within the marriage. And it's an equal victory for Satan if he accomplishes either plan. You know, it's interesting because Satan tries to, you know, like, make single people, like, a lot of time the singles, they're like thinking about sex all the time. Even sometimes they're like feeling like their bodies are going to explode if they don't, you know, like hurry up and find somebody to get married so they can have sex. A lot of times it's like that. And then once that person gets married, it's like they never want to talk about it again. Like, let's just not talk about that. And, you know, I know we're in church today, and if you're a visitor with us today, I apologize. No, I'm just like that you're here on this topic. But I really do believe that God created sex. It's actually a gift from God. He created it. And it is important that we talk about it and that we understand it, because I feel like for years and for a long time, Satan has made it distorted and has taken the beauty out of what it was meant to be. And so we're going to talk about that today. Sexual intimacy in a marriage is a category unlike any other in human relationships. Something powerful happens when a husband and wife come together in intimacy. It's like the one thing that a husband and a wife can do together that brings them together. The Bible says that, you know, when you get married, the two become one flesh. It's when you both come together, and it's something powerful that God created. You know, it was actually one of the first commands that he gave the first couple after he, you know, created Adam and Eve. And then he told them to do what? Go forth and multiply. You can't multiply without having sex, right? So, like, he's telling them, Adam, Eve, Go and have sex and multiply. But somehow many times, and I can speak to my married friends in here that, you know, sometimes, when you get married, life just kind of gets going. You start work gets busy, you know, and then maybe having some children, and then that gets busy and it kind of throws your schedule off. And then, you know, like you have different activities and different schedules, and then where it becomes intimacy, it just becomes one of the last things that we make time for. And so I want to talk to us today about how can we be intentional about keeping that fire in our relationships. From this book, there's this quote, and it says, "Without fun, play, laughter, and romance, the best of marriages can deteriorate quickly into a joyless business relationship. In many cases, the responsibilities and pressures of life can push out the fun without us noticing. Most couples need to be intentional about making space for fun and bringing joy into their relationship on a daily basis for all the years to come that God gives them." You know, I remember there was a time that it was just like life was busy. You know, we have, four kids, and I remember thinking like, it's been a long time since I've laughed. You know, where you just get so focused on what your goals and the things that you're doing and your work that it's like I haven't even laughed, like that belly laugh, in a long time. And even I remember we were like getting ready to go back to the U.S. and I found this plaque. It was just in one of like a craft store. And I said, you know, I want to buy that and I want to put it in my house because I never want to forget the importance of joy and just laughing and laughing together. It's so important. So I'm going to start reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 about what Paul says to the married couples. The church was writing in and asking him questions about this. So he's writing a letter back to the church in Corinth, and he's answering them. And so he begins this chapter by saying, you know, it's actually best if you guys do not get married, but if you're tempted with sexual sin, if you can't, you know, like deal with your sexual sin, then hey, go find yourself a husband or go find yourself a wife. And then when you do, and then we'll start in verse 3, it says, "The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control." So Paul, in this passage, strongly suggests that there is a sexual responsibility in marriage. He's saying, unless you've agreed together to be apart and not come together for a time because of prayer and seeking God, that's fine, but make sure that you don't neglect your sexual intimacy for a long time so that it gives Satan a chance to come in and bring a temptation. You know, because outside temptations are everywhere. You know, like, we live in the same world. We live in the same city. We can look around and you can see that there's just temptations everywhere. There's even marriages that have issues and, with faithfulness and different things like that. And so when I'm reading this week and I'm going over it, it just reminded me of, like, you know, we all live here. Most of us live here in Maidan. So I remembered this time that I'm at the mall and they have like these displays, you know, like in the middle of the malls, like they have like a kitchen display. So they had refrigerators, stoves, different like kitchen appliances and things. And so, like, you know, like going up to look at one of the refrigerators and just kind of interested in the price. And all of a sudden this girl comes out in like this little tiny red dress. It's like real short, real small, too small for her actually. You know, like wanting to help me sell this refrigerator. And I'm like, seriously, I mean, for one, go get me a salesperson. And you, girl, go home, put a dress on that fits, and then come on back. Because you know why the store owners are putting that girl out to sell the refrigerator. it's not to greet the ibu that shows up, because the ibu is going to be the one using the fridge, right? Not like, not my husband. Husbands don't go in the kitchen unless they're like, the food's ready and they're eating, right? So, but it's a tactic, because they know that the man is the one normally with the money that's going to like buy the refrigerator, right? So, you know, that's just like an example, but we see it all the time. Like, there's temptations out there everywhere. So Paul is saying, don't go a long time without having sexual intimacy with your spouse, because you're giving, you know, Satan a chance to come and bring temptation in your marriage. So it's for protection. It's for intimacy between a husband and wife. It's also for protection. I remembered, and this is what gave me peace about even sharing today, because I remembered this story that we just walked through. It's been about 10 years ago, maybe. And, you know, a lot of you know our story of, you know, I got pregnant in high school at 15. We got married when I was 16. And then just, not long after that, maybe like 6 months after that, is when we became Christians and we started following Jesus. And so I remember a couple of years into our marriage, even after becoming a Christian, just trying to like, you know, like read God's word, learn God's word, learning like how to walk in purity, like what does that look like? And, you know, how to be married, like what, you know, what, how does God, you know, what does he want from me to be a wife and a mom of purity to my husband? And for many years, I remember like sex was very dirty to me because of my past experience, and it was in my past life of before I became a Christian. And so it was really difficult for me to have sexual relations with my husband, even though we were married, and not feel this way. I don't even know if he knew about this, but it's true. And several years passed and we did have sexual relations because we had four children, but several years passed and we're here in Indonesia and my husband is traveling. You know, he travels to different islands doing ministry and things. And I remember this couple from Surabaya, they were a Christian couple. They were pretty well known. And the husband actually went, he was with his colleagues in Singapore, and he went up on this tall building and he was getting ready to jump off this building and end his life. And one of his colleagues saw him and pulled him to the side and talked to him. And turns out this gentleman shares what had been going on. He was so full of guilt that he was ready to end his life. He had talked about he was traveling for, you know, like doing things for God. And he would, you know, one time he was going through Bali and he had a couple drinks on the plane. And by the time he got to his hotel, he orders a massage. A girl comes in, takes her clothes off, and they have sex. And then it starts this cycle in him. So he, you know, like goes home. He does every time he does his travel itinerary, he made sure that he was going through Bali so that he could go and find these girls. And he had this pattern that started. And so I remember our friends were in Surabaya and they were the ones that were with him when they call his wife to tell the wife what had been going on. And then the teenage children come in. And so they're walking with this, our friends are walking with this family through this. And man, I remember hearing this story and it really shook me. And my husband's traveling. He always would take one of our kids with him. When our kids were 8 years old, they would always take turns traveling with their dad, and mainly for protection. But he was gone. And I remember I had like this moment, and I believe that God, it was God that spoke to me about this, because I was thinking like, what happens in a marriage? You know, even when you're following Jesus, even when you're doing things for God, what happens to cause someone to be unfaithful or to find sexual intimacy outside of the marriage? And so I began even, you know, thinking like, if they're having sexual intimacy in the home, in their marriage, it would probably be more unlikely that they would search for it outside. So in some cases, it still happens. Like, I know that. And, you know, like, even in my family, I saw that, you know, the same thing happened to my mom. My father was unfaithful, and it was very difficult on her. But I believe that, so at this moment, I'm just kind of asking God about it. And I remember thinking, you know, I really love my husband. I mean, I love him with all of my heart. And I was picturing, you know, something happening to me. Maybe like I'm in a car accident and I die suddenly. And then there, you know, like maybe after a while, my husband finds someone else, another woman, and she comes into his life. I'm picturing this whole thing in my mind. And he one day says, wow, I've never been loved. I've never been loved like you love me. I've never had someone make me feel the way that you make me feel. I'm picturing this in my mind, that if another woman came and he would say that to her. And I remember I was like, God, I do love my husband. Like, I don't want to just spend this life and just live our life like we're business partners. You know, like in our message today, I want to be that wife so that there would be no one else. If, God forbid, something happened to me one day, no one else could come along and he would say, you know, like, this girl loved me way more than Carrie ever showed me. And so I had this idea that he was coming back in a couple days. And so I was like, I'm going to go and rent a hotel in town, a really nice hotel. And so I rent this, like, pay for this hotel. Don't rent it. That sounds bad. I paid for a hotel. So it was a good hotel, a room. I paid for a room. And so I'm a little bit worried because it was kind of expensive. And I was like, oh dear, he's going to be so mad at me because if he finds out how much I paid for this room. But I did it. And then I told my kids, hey, you know, you stay with your siblings. We're going to go and have, you know, a night away. So you guys just take care of yourselves. I set everything up. Go pick my husband up. And I tell him, hey, we're not going to go straight home. I rented us a room at this hotel. And I was like, I've planned all this, like, fun, romantic stuff. And then, of course, he was, like, super happy. Like, he wasn't disappointed at all. And it was a great night. And, man, we just, like, it was just nice, you know, after having four kids and being busy and all of this, like, and seeing his reaction of, like, how much this meant to him. And then that night, like, we talked about, I told him, like, everything that I had been thinking about and this whole process of things that, you know, was going through my mind and my heart. And we made a decision. You know what? We need to be intentional about dating each other. You know, like, away from the kids, it's great to love your kids. But sometimes when we have kids, it's like we're married to our child more than we're married to our husband or our wife. And the fact is that one day those children are going to grow up and they're going to leave. And they're going to find their own husbands and their own wives. And then what are we left with? We're left with that husband or that wife. And so we need to nurture that. And so from that time on, it's been really important for us. Like, we date each other still. Like, we go out and, you know, to keep that alive. We weren't created to live as business partners. You know, a lot of times I think that's what can happen, and that's why these stories from couples that are like, oh, marriage is so stressful, or marriage is like this, and because it becomes like a business partner. Without fun and romance, a marriage becomes like a business relationship. A few weeks ago, Pastor Chris shared this quote, "The decisions you make today determine the marriage that you'll have tomorrow." I think this also goes for the singles. The decisions that you make today in your purity and your walk with God and you're preparing yourself for that person is going to determine the marriage that you have for tomorrow. And it's the same for us married couples that, you know, like, if you aren't living in a way that, you know, maybe is you know, like, really, like, fostering this marriage relationship, then you can start today. It's not too late. Today is a great day to start. So for you, I have three types of fun that should be a part of every marriage. And so this is for the married people. Single people, you guys can take notes. Keep this tucked away because you're going to need it. Shindy, you're going to need this soon. Okay, so number one, three types of fun that should be a part of every marriage. Have fun chats. I came up with this on my own. This morning when I read it, I was like, that's a little cheesy, but it's okay. Have fun chats or have fun talks together. The important thing is like talk together, like not just about, did you go to the grocery store? What's our schedule for the kids? You know, like, when's your doctor's appointment? Or not like that, but I'm talking about like fun talks. Like, you know, in the mornings, me and my husband, our favorite time is our morning talk together. Because now, just in our house, it's just the three of us. It's me, my husband, and Gabriel. And so Gabe is with us like most of the time, most of the day. But in the mornings, like, we get up before him so we can have time to talk and catch up. And, you know, I'm talking about the talks that's like, tell me something funny that happened in your life, you know, like something funny that happened in your day, or, you know, like, hey, you know, tell me about what's been going on. And, you know, like the real stories, not just like work or business or kids or things like that. Talking about life. I love at our house, I love dinner table time because it's like, we're just there. Like, you're sitting across from each other, we're eating, but it's like, you're forced to like have real talks, and those are some of my favorites. So having date nights, the importance of date night is being together just to be together. So you must create this, you must guard this, and you must do this. So for these date nights, for married couples, you must create it, you must guard it, and you must do it. Second, have fun hangouts. This means like engaging in things that each of you or your spouse, what your spouse likes to do. And so a lot of times, you know, like couples can kind of get to where I'll go with you if that's something I'm interested in, you know? And it's really kind of selfish. I can say that because I'm kind of selfish sometimes. Like I'm like, if I don't like it, then I don't want to go or something like that. But I have been trying to work on it. I'll prove you because I have it in my notes right here. I was thinking like, how do I actually do these things too? So ask yourself, what does my spouse love? Like, what kind of things does my spouse love? So in our relationship, my husband is introverted. Like, he would rather stay home. If there's ever like an off night, a date night, he would always, like, probably always vote to just stay home and let's order something at home. For me, I'm like, no, let's get ready. Let's go out where all the people are, you know, like, It's fun. We're opposite. But to try to like do things like having fun hangouts so we can do things together that he likes to do. He also likes to watch Netflix series. So I'm not even a TV person, but our compromise is we watch a Netflix series, like crime shows, because crime is fun. So we watch those things together. And yeah, so those are fun. And then like for me, some things that I love to do, because women, wives, we have to go to the grocery store, right? Like, it's not fun, but we have to do it. So I, for like our fun hangout time, I would like invite him to go with me. And I know he doesn't like to go, but he comes along anyways because he's trying to like have a fun hangout with me. So he'll come, be able to push the buggy. That's always nice to have him there. So we kind of do things together. That's like married people fun. Hiking, other things like that. Movies, those are fun things. But finding fun things to hang out. And then the third one is have fun romance. Because every marriage still needs romance. It doesn't matter if you've already had children. That is not the only reason why romance was created from God. He created it so that you guys can come together, husband and wives can come together. God delights in the intimacy between a man and a woman in marriage. In Proverbs 5:18, I love this scripture. I just put the first half because the second half made me feel a little uncomfortable, so you can read that on your own later. But it says, rejoice in the wife of your youth. May you ever be intoxicated with her love. That's pretty passionate. being intoxicated with her love or with his love. But I believe that that's God's plan. If you read about marriage and you read about relationships, it's all through the scripture. God created relationships. He created the marriage relationship. So I have some tips for the husbands and wives here in the room. So maybe if your marriage feels a little dry, or if maybe there's some work to be done on this intimacy area, and if you're single, you can just take a picture of it and save it away for that special time. But okay, I'm going to start with the men, some tips for the men to bring romance and to bring this back into your marriage. First one, work on your approach. Be creative. You know, a lot of times guys are like, okay, right now, like instant right now. But women aren't like that. Like women need like a warm-up, need to be like romanced a little bit. So work on your approach. Be creative. Next, be tender. We don't want like, we're not a guy, so girls like to be tender. Next, be romantic. Think about what kind of things did you do in the beginning to win her in the first place. Like if you weren't romantic, like it's hard for me to believe that you, how you won her. So like you have to have had some kind of like romantic things that you did. Next, engage in conversation. This one is actually easy because girls like to talk. And so the guys, you just have to be like, and what happened? And then the girl will explain, oh yeah, and then what? Oh yeah? And then like the girl will be like, oh my gosh, I'm so in love with this guy. He's so awesome. He just listens to me all day long. Like, it's really easy. I know when my husband is not listening to me though, because like his eyes, I can tell there's a change. It's like there's no focus. It's just glassed over. And I'll be like, I know you're not listening to me anymore. He's like, no, I am. Keep going. So engage in conversation. Bring gifts. Bring gifts to show her that, hey, I've been thinking about you, and I saw this chocolate candy bar. I know you love chocolate. Or cheese or teddy bear. Shindy would love a teddy bear. And then find out what she likes and do it. And this isn't just in like a sexual relationship way. I'm talking about like, I love personality tests. I love language tests. My love language is acts of service. So like, it, you know, whenever, you know, maybe I'm, my helpers are off for the weekend. And so we're having to clean and all of that around the house. Whenever I'm like coming home late and I'm going into the kitchen and I'm imagining a sink full of dirty dishes, you know, like while I've been gone. But when I come home and the dishes are washed and they're put in the, you know, in like the tray, I know like my husband is trying to show me ways that he's showing me love. And so it's every time I see that, I know my husband doesn't just go into the kitchen and he's like, oh, dirty dishes, I think I'll wash them. Like, that's not the case. I know he's thinking, you know what? I'm going to show my wife and be romantic, and I'm going to wash these dishes. And it works every time I get home and I'm like, oh my gosh, you washed the dishes. Like, you would have thought he bought me like $1 million or something. But it's actually better than $1 million because I don't have to wash them. But it's important, continue to pursue her. Keep trying to win her and keeping that relationship. I think, guys, if you do this, then you'll definitely win the girl's heart and those sparks will be like everywhere. Okay, now for the women. All right, girls. Make an approach. I think sometimes guys feel like they never get approached. It's always them having to like approach you. So for the women, make an approach, like show interest in your husband. Show interest first. Next, just get romantic. And this could be like, I was remembering when my kids were little and, you know, our bedroom looked like a tornado hit it because there's diapers, there's toys, there's things everywhere. And so it's not really romantic like that sometimes. So clean all of that kid stuff or whatever out of the way. Put some candles out. Like, it's not really hard. You can just do a few things to kind of like get romantic, make things romantic. Okay, next. Everything looks better in silk than in cotton. So I know a lot of times here we have batik duster, you know. So maybe throw out the batik duster and get like some pretty silk something. Or it doesn't even have to be silk. It could be just something nice. He'll be happy with whatever you choose. I promise. I promise. If you feel good, they'll be happy. Okay, next. Play great music. Like, put some nice music on. For us, when we were dating, it was back in the 90s. This group, I don't even know if you guys know of Chicago, this group, they sang a lot of great love songs. The crazy thing is my son Isaiah is going to see Chicago, like, next month. He was like, do you know who that is? I was like, are you kidding me? That's our era. Yes, we know who that is. So anyways, that's another story. But playing songs, like songs that you listen to when you were dating. We love to like get in the car, turn like some Chicago on. It just like makes us remember like when we first fell in love. It's really sweet. Give a back rub. The guys like would love a back rub. And then also find out what he likes. And then just do that. And so trying to constantly, like, finding ways to win each other. I have this quote that I love, and I'm about to wrap up. But every time I share about marriage or we talk about it, I really love this quote. And it says, the best part of being married is getting to have a sleepover with your best friend every single night. I really love this because I remember when we were dating. You guys can probably relate that when, you know, your boyfriend is like having to drop you off at your house and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to miss you. The night just went so fast and I don't want you to leave. And then he's like, I don't want to leave. I'm going to miss you. And then like you just kind of stand there back and forth. And then there comes the day that you get married. And it is like having a sleepover with your best friend every single night because you never have to leave. Like, it's like, oh, I better go home. No, like now we live together. This is awesome. And that is how marriage should be. It's you know, like our life isn't perfect. I'm not saying that. I don't want to paint that. You don't get pregnant at 15, get married at 16, and you have a perfect life. I promise you. But I will say that, man, just working at this thing called marriage together for these almost 25 years, it just keeps getting better and better and better. And it just takes you working at it. You know, and working at it doesn't mean, okay, I'm going to work at it if I see you working at it. I'll work as hard as you. But if you are not working, then I'm going to work like as little as you are. No, it's saying, hey, you know what? I love you, and I really, really want us to have the best marriage, so I'm going to give everything. And then in return, that person, whether they give or not, you give everything. And in return, that person gives everything. And then you guys, that's what makes marriage fun. That's what makes a marriage work. Because you know what? You experience highs and lows, mountains and valleys. It's life. But man, there's nothing like having a best friend, being a cheerleader for each other. When you become one, when you become one flesh, I wish I could even go on because when I was studying, man, it's so powerful. When you become one flesh, it's like you're loving that person like you love yourself. You're for that person like you're for yourself because you're not just yourself anymore. You're one. And so when you want the best for that person, it's like the same of like you want the best for yourself. The most beautiful part about marriage is I was reading this week about in Ephesians when Paul was talking about the husbands and the wives. And man, there was this part, the scripture that I never really saw it before. And it was, you know, talking about when Paul says, wives, submit to your husbands. And then he talks a little bit, and then he says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for her. And man, it's so powerful because thinking about that, Christ loved the church. We're the church. We're his bride. So Paul was saying, love your wife like Christ loved the church, and he gave himself for her. What did Christ do for the church? He died for the church. So what does it mean? You know, a lot of times we read that scripture and the people, a lot of times people like to just notice one. Wives, submit. Submit to the husband. You masak and you have it ready. Jam lima pagi. You know, like that's their idea of submit, right? You have lots of babies with me and you raise them. Chuchi the ruma. Whatever. I don't know. I'm trying to like make some things up. Sometimes we think that's what wives submit, right? Because it is, like, it really does say that. But when he says, for husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, meaning, hey, you surrender yourself, you give yourself, you die to yourself for your wife. When I was reading that, because you know what? When a man loves you and you know they love you, they're not just dictating over you because they have the power, but when a man loves you and gives himself for you, there's no question. The wife wants to submit. No question. I'm a strong woman. I'm an 8 on the Enneagram. You don't get stronger than that. But I love to submit under my husband because he loves me. I was even, when I was reading this, and I'm not even trying to just, you know, brag on our family. We're not perfect. We argue. We get on each other's nerves. But I was thinking about him and the love that he shows to me, and that he's, year after year, he does give himself for me. He gives himself for our family. I've watched him work 4 jobs. As soon as he's working, he would wake up at 3 a.m., work till 4 p.m. the next day, come home and coach our kids in soccer, and still do every activity with us, never looking for anything for himself. You know, even like still opens the door for me. It's a small thing, but I know whenever he does these things, he's showing me, hey, I love you. And I'll just be honest, it's helped me understand the love of Jesus. It's helped me love Jesus more because of the way that I've seen how he loves me. And so that's what, you know, I want to charge to you husbands, love your wives. Love your wives like Christ loved and gave himself for the church, dying to himself, giving himself for the family. I think sometimes we get it mixed up because when you love your wife, when you love and give yourself for your family, your wife will want to submit, want to come under your authority, want your respect, want to respect you. Man, it's so powerful, this whole analogy of marriage, of even sexual intimacy, that this was the plan from God from the very beginning. Because, you know, Christ came and gave himself for his bride, us, the church. He wants intimacy with us. That was the example. That's the example of the marriage relationship. We're here in our flesh on this earth, and that is the model. But one day we'll be in heaven, and we'll be joined with Christ. We'll be joined with Jesus. It's a beautiful picture and a beautiful story. The love story of our God to us. Man, I want to just pray for you guys today. I know that the Lord has given me this message. All week, I knew that he was showing me that our marriage and our married couples and husbands and wives and even singles need to be reminded and need to know what the marriage that God created, what is that supposed to look like? How did God create that for us to live together as husband and wife? Marriage is fun. Marriage is beautiful. Marriage can be awesome. And I believe that's what he wants for you guys today. If you don't mind, join me and just stand up. I would love to just pray with you and bless you before we end today. Jesus gave himself for his bride. He gave himself for you. Man, there's nothing more beautiful than the fact that, you know, we're all sinners. We've all fallen short. You know, a lot of times I shared, you know, I was thinking about my story and shared how my experiences before getting married really made an effect on me and my marriage and my relationship with my husband. And I really felt like God was showing me that it's happened to a lot of people. Maybe you didn't have sexual relationships with, you know, like me and get pregnant and things like that, but maybe you were abused. Maybe you were made to do things outside of your will. You know, maybe you were introduced to some pornography or things before the right time, and your mind has been open to some things. And you also feel like ashamed when you think and we talk about these things. But I can tell you, and I know through my experience, that God can bring healing. God can bring purity. It doesn't matter what kind of things that we've done or we've been involved in, because our God is powerful and He is so loving. He gave His Son to die for us so that we can live free and innocent. He can make us innocent again. And I know that's what He wants to do today.
This is the end of the message today. Thank you again for listening to our podcast.